Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us. And we've got some timely topics. I like to keep it mixed up and a nice variety for you because there's so much to the world of finances, of course. And there is a pulse. There's something going on every day in the markets and in business news. So we're very lucky. We've hooked up with the Washington Post, and they have some great reporting on a variety of subjects. Sarah Halzack is our guest today, national retail reporter for the Washington Post, and she has been with them in various positions since 2007. Most recently, her role has been as the national retail reporter. A lot of coverage on major retailers and consumer trends, which is very relevant and interesting to the world of finance. A graduate from the George Washington University with a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism and dance. So that's relevant. You need to dance around these subjects. So glad to welcome you to the program, Sarah.
Hi, David. Happy to be here.
Good. Very good. So is it a tango? Is it a waltz? What is it with the retailers?
Oh, goodness. Well, it's a complicated dance right now, that's
I'll bet
for sure.
It is. And everybody's stepping on everybody's toes, right? Because everybody wants to lead.
Yes, everybody wants to lead, and everybody's trying to figure out how the floor is moving underneath them with the rise of e-commerce.
Very good. And that is a lot about what we need to talk about, because a lot of disruption, you know, I guess that's one of maybe that's a little dated now, but there's a lot of disruption going on in retail. And it's interesting to watch how all this is flowing. Now, I will confess right up front that I do have the Amazon app on my smartphone, and I love it because I personally don't have a lot of time. In fact, my clients would tell you, Sarah, that I can't justify going and spending a lot of time in some retail store when I need to be doing work for them or thinking about them and the advice I give them. So I really can't justify a lot of time out there. And of course, when shopping, some people really enjoy it. Some people like buying. Some people like getting it. Some people like the experience. But the popularity has just gone through the roof for this online shopping. It started out being kind of a fad. Now it's just mainstream.
Yeah, and you've really touched on the dichotomy that we see out there in the marketplace. There are lots of people like you who really prefer to shop from an app or a mobile phone or even their desktop computer at this point. They see that convenience as a real priority, and they're voting with their dollars and making their purchases there. On the other hand, we do still see that over 90% of sales are still happening in stores. And so while the growth of e-commerce is explosive, there are still a lot of people who like to touch and feel something before they purchase it, who like to try on a garment before they purchase it, or who like to give that peach or that tomato a little squeeze before they buy it. So what we see now is retailers are really trying to court consumers on both fronts and are sort of realizing that many of us kind of ping pong back and forth between those two channels.
That's excellent. Well, I have an invention for you that would, for people like me, here's the invention for the retailers. They need to send me, now let me send in my measurements, okay? And then they need to send me a mannequin that goes in my bedroom, and I will order clothes try it on and measure and see how it looks. And I mean, there's so many things that can be imagined. I know that sounds crazy, but there's so many things that can be imagined with this technology. You're right. People like to touch and feel it. I order stuff and I'm like, okay, well, I'll get this in a couple sizes, whichever one fits, I keep and I send the other one back. And, you know, again, they are making it very competitive and they are reaching different markets. So we've got some things happening here, and there's several things happening. I mentioned Amazon. Their profits are through the roof, right?
Yeah, so Amazon is sort of reversing this long-held narrative about the company. For a long time, it always felt like they were pulling in all this revenue and not turning a profit because they were investing so heavily in building out these fulfillment centers and other infrastructure that allow them to get that Prime package on your doorstep in 2 days or in 1 day. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing now is they have posted 5 straight quarters of profits.
Wow.
And that's sort of encouraging to investors who believe that this is a sign that all these investments are really starting to pay off. And their sales growth continues to be explosive as well, so they continue to amass a lot of new customers.
That's excellent. Well, more about that over at thewashingtonpost.com. And that was an article that Sarah wrote back. That was back in the end of July. So if you want more information about Amazon's profitability story, you can read that right on washingtonpost.com. And their their latest weapon in this e-commerce war that you were referring to is their own Air Force. So they've actually purchased their own airplanes now?
Well, they've leased them.
Leased them, okay.
Yeah.
Well, which is kind of the same thing in the airline world. You know, it's a long-term lease as a capital lease, so it'll be on their balance sheet.
Sure, exactly. And what we see is that Amazon is kind of realizing they have grown so massively that the infrastructure that exists out there has not been enough to support all the movement of product that they need to do. So they have leased these 40 planes, and they have also invested in about 4,000 trucking trailers that are on the roads now, ferrying Amazon goods back and forth. So it is important to mention that at this point, those planes and those trucks are not actually delivering goods right to your doorstep. They're just, bringing things back and forth between Amazon's own warehouses and facilities. But you can't help but think a few steps ahead,
sure,
right, and wonder if that might be the direction Amazon might go in the future.
Absolutely. Well, I can imagine that we may even see, and I have no privy to this, but we might see an acquisition at some point with, you know, Amazon growing in so much value and the value of their stock going so high or higher that there could be a merger acquisition in the play where they might actually just acquire a shipping company. Now, the thing that's interesting to me is, of course, and this is very predictable, so I apologize for this in advance, Sarah, but predictably, I have to ask you about the drone part of this. You know, at some point, they will drop that. They will land on my front yard as I sit in my lawn chair with a little umbrella and the drink with the umbrella in it, and they drop the drone right in front of me. They release and out pops my package. How far do you think, from your vantage point, how far do you think we are from that kind of technology?
I think it's still pretty far away.
Okay.
Not only from an innovation perspective and just getting the technology right, there are some questions out there about the regulations
of
that
course
would need to be put in place. And, one of my favorite terms that I hear often in talking to folks about this is the idea of drone pollution.
Yeah.
We don't want to get to a situation where there's so many of these devices crowding the skies that it could be problematic. So I think that is certainly something Amazon is pushing towards, and it's a provocative future, but I don't think it's right around the corner.
You know, that's a nice way to put it. That is an interesting way to phrase a provocative future. And, you know, they have to be very careful in the markets so that they do end up just deploying the drone technology because, you know, in Florida, you know, we're in the South here. So what happens in Florida is we have an overpopulation of bears or gators or whatever else. You know, the state will declare hunting season, so they need to watch out. There'll be a lot of people out there with their little caterpillar hats that will be on top of their houses.
I can only imagine
hunting the drones with their shotguns. Anyway.
Perhaps. Yeah, that is, I'm sure that is one scenario they probably haven't quite thought through yet.
But they're smart folks over there. They probably have a little brain tank just dealing with those Southern Floridians and their shotguns on the roof just for us. But yeah, it's interesting, but it definitely is indicative of where things are headed and that online experience. And again, maybe someday I'll have my mannequin that they'll have that I can just try the clothes on right online and see how it fits my mannequin and I'll be good to go.
There's some technology it's not exactly what you're describing. It's not a mannequin per se, but there's some technology out there that retailers are trying to integrate with their website that sort of gets at this problem that you're describing, that
yeah,
it is hard to tell how an item of clothing is going to fit when you're buying it on a website. So you do see some retailers now are introducing these things where you can input your measurements and you can input, say in J.Crew I wear this size and in Gap I wear that size.
Right.
And then they can use that information to try to make a guess. Oh, in this brand, you know, you would want a size extra small, but in
right,
this brand, you'd want a size small. So we see retailers trying to make some efforts in this space, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
Well, I know that there's talk, and you wrote about this as well back in July, about artificial intelligence helping you, find your outfit. We need to talk about that. First, we'll grab a quick break. We have Sarah Halzack with us, national retail reporter for Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com. More great articles written by Sarah. So let's grab that quick break. We'll come back and talk about whether or not Rosie the Robot can help you pick out your outfit. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce. I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN, no cost or obligation. Or visit PlanStronger.com.
And welcome back. Can artificial intelligence help you find an outfit? That is a great question. A question that is being looked at by Macy's. And Sarah Halzack, our guest today, national retail reporter for the Washington Post, spoke about this and wrote about it in her July article on the subject, WashingtonPost.com. So can they, will they, can they help us out?
So what Macy's is experimenting with on the artificial intelligence front is pretty basic at this point, but it does offer sort of a window into the direction we might see retailers going with this in the future. So what Macy's is piloting is they're using IBM's Watson technology, and if you are in a Macy's store, you can pull up a certain website, and once you do that, you can input natural language questions to help you find your way around the store. So
okay.
You could ask, where are the women's dresses, or where are kids' clothes, or where's the restroom? And it will be equipped to navigate you around that specific store. Obviously, Macy's has over 700 stores with 700 different floor plans. So this has been customized to be able to address those issues on a store-by-store basis. And in theory, you're supposed to be able to ask the questions like you would ask a friend.
Right.
You're not supposed to have to put them in sort of search term jargon.
All right. Well, here it comes, Sarah. You're probably bracing for this. So can you help us out, the husbands of this world that are asked in the morning, does this outfit make me look fat? Can you get the technology into the house? Can we get like a hologram there to answer that question so I don't have to?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure that's on many men's wish list, but probably is not a reality.
Because there's no right answer.
No, there certainly isn't. But there are going to be lots more experiments like this with artificial intelligence technology, and ones that probably will be more sophisticated in the near future. So there is technology that is in pilot mode right now that, for example, could do a better job of reading the emotion of the person asking a question. They could tell if they were frustrated, or they could tell if they were in a hurry, that kind of thing. And then the robot could respond in kind.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to a software company here in the D.C. area that is in the nascent stages of working with retailers on a robot that can, you know, you can ask, where can I find this shirt in blue?
Right.
And if you can't find that shirt in blue in the store, they'll talk you through ordering it online and have it sent to your doorstep. So you're going to see a lot more experiments in this space.
That's cool. Well, they got to be careful. We need to program to the artificial intelligence, make sure the response, when they are answered, able that question, that they put the emphasis on the right words in the sentence. No, that dress does, that one doesn't make you look fat. You got to be really careful, computer, how you respond, or you'll end up in the doghouse with the rest of us. All right. That's very helpful and good, interesting to know that that's there. And again, a lot of stores, you mentioned before about the percentages are still a enormous amount of retail. We talk, you know, about retail sales is in stores. You know, so a lot of these technologies, you know, it kind of a defensive thing, I guess, for some of the stores for brick and mortar is to bring these technologies into store and not have it necessarily be all through the computer or online or on your phone, that they're embracing technologies, but they're still wanting you to come in a store and have that store experience.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They realize that we all spend a pretty hefty chunk of our day now swiping and tapping away on our phones, and so they want to harness that and incorporate that into the store experience. So this is why you see experiments with things like beacons as well. So with beacon technology, it uses a Bluetooth signal to be able to send information to your phone about the product you're standing in front of. So that might be sending you customer reviews of a blender you're looking at, or it might be sending you an extra 20% off coupon for the mascara that you're standing in front of. Those are ways that they're trying to incorporate the phone into the in-store experience, and also with, you know, some sort of app-specific coupons and deals. That's something Target, for example, is doing with its Cartwheel app. You can get sort of unique value from a price perspective by bringing that phone into the in-store shopping experience.
That is interesting. I'll go out on a limb here. Maybe we could even equip the salespeople in the store to do that. Hey, you like that, really? I mean, what's it going to take to get you in these shoes today?
Yeah. Well, and you know, interestingly, we are seeing some studies that say that younger shoppers in particular, they actually prefer to interact with their phone than with a store associate, which may sound kind of sad to some people who like that more personal touch. But you can see why, given those kinds of statistics and findings, retailers are really investing in trying to have the phone do some of the heavy lifting.
That's
the other
so funny
thing is that, you know, we're in this moment where retailers are, you know, trying to do more with less. They're trying to not have to have so many workers in their stores. And so if there can be, you know, one thing Macy's talked about when talking about this artificial intelligence program we talked about earlier, they said they hope that this is a way that it can take some pressure off store associates to answer these really basic questions like, where's the bathroom? And then that way the store associates can be focused on, you know, showing you some the difference between one dress or another, helping you find some shoes to go with the slacks you just bought, more sophisticated questions that would be harder for a robot to answer.
Yeah, see, I guess we need this technology to get on and hurry up and get here. I mean, we need the hologram, hologram doctor from Star Trek Voyager, or we need these holograms that can walk around the stores and say, yeah, the bathroom's down that way when they, you know, see somebody crossing their legs. I mean, you know, there should be a way to, but we're not there yet. I know. But, you know, it is all very interesting to see how this is all developing and to see how, you know, it kind of, everybody's got different buying experiences and preferences. You know, when you talk about the younger, maybe it's the millennials you're referring to that have, look at that in-store experience, they might prefer to have more of the digital interaction as opposed to the sales associate. I've gone a few times to help my wife, you know, shoe shopping or back to school shopping or whatever. And, you know, when I walk into the store, I'm not, a lot of times the response will be, oh, I'm just looking, I'm just browsing. Not me. When I walk in, I'm like, hi, yes, thank you for coming over. I'm looking for this, this, and this. Can you show me where it is?
Yeah. And, you know, that's interesting because we're seeing more and more of that. So last holiday season, for example, we saw a real decrease in the number of stores that people visited per trip. And what that suggests is they weren't just coming to the mall and browsing around and seeing what window display caught their eye. They had done their homework. They had done their research online. They knew what they wanted to buy. They knew where the best price was. And they went right to those stores and went in for the kill. And so this is something that's challenging for retailers to face right now, right?
Is that, because it takes time.
Yeah, their customer is coming in armed with such information and they know what they want already
that
it becomes very hard to upsell them on adding something, or it becomes very hard to convince them to buy, you know, the speakers in a slightly more expensive format than the ones that they had researched and read customer reviews of online. So there are a lot of people like you out there, and you give retailers a little bit of a headache.
Yes, I'm not surprised. Yes, we need this in a size 7. I need a 2-inch heel. I need it to be this color. And where is that? I mean, we're very specific. That is interesting, and it will be interesting to see how all of this has a great deal of relevance for people who are looking at investing in these different types of distribution and sales organizations, be it an Amazon, be it a Macy's, be it whomever. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back and talk about some other changes that are coming. We see Walmart has acquired Jet. We'll talk about that. And then also another thing that is very interesting to me, which is the shipping and the ease of getting food preparation into your kitchen and making your life a little easier. Sarah Halzack is our guest today. Sarah Halzack, National Retail Reporter for the Washington Post. Quick break, word from our sponsors. Back with you in just a moment.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
Hey, we're back. Sarah Halzack on the line with us, national retail reporter for the Washington Post. Go to the website, washingtonpost.com, for all of Sarah's articles. And one of the ones recently we saw that was very interesting, of course, it made news all over Wall Street, was Walmart's acquisition of Jet for a $3.3 billion purchase price. Always lows prices, but sometimes they got to spend a little money to make an acquisition. So what's the story here? This is an online retailer, right?
Yeah, so Jet is a startup that launched last summer, and it was promising to approach pricing in a kind of innovative way. So instead of having your individual prices for items, it would sort of determine the price based on the unique combination of items in your basket. And Walmart has decided to scoop this up, and it's not hard to see why they wanted to take a chance in the digital arena. Their e-commerce growth has been slowing down. It was 22% in 2014. It was 12% last year. And as we were just discussing, Amazon, meanwhile, is zooming along and gobbling up more and more market share. Mm-hmm. So this is a play by Walmart to try to turn that tide.
Yeah, and I heard that the CEO pretty much had a blank checkbook. The board said, hey, whatever you need, whatever you need to get to fight Amazon, get on with it. If anybody, and this is a wonderful thing, again, for people that prefer to shop more online, and for me personally, you know, I go to Walmart, I'm not smart enough to get through that self-checkout line. I'm just not smart enough. They always have to come over and help me, and I'm, you know, the light goes off, and it's, you know, and it's like, okay, we have a problem person on line four, so they have to come over and help me. So
we've all been there, yep.
In fact, I think they actually will induct you directly into Mensa society if you can get through that checkout line by yourself. But, so I still haven't been sent the application as a result. But the acquisition is very interesting because it shows you that the stakes are incredibly high for Walmart to spend $3.3 billion on a startup from 2015. Wow.
Yeah, and to put that in context, you know, Walmart has spent $2 billion on internal initiatives of, you know, building out its network of fulfillment centers, investing in IT infrastructure, that kind of thing. So imagine that that's how much it's already spent within its own house. And the fact that it was willing to spend 50% more on this sort of nascent startup really shows you the extent to which they're eager to turn the page here and just try something different.
Yeah, and it shows you that they know if they don't, they're in trouble. I mean, that's the tea leaves I read right here. Well, another subject that is very interesting to me, so we definitely have to talk about it, Sarah, and that is this whole thing about companies that are able to deliver almost ready to be cooked meals right to your doorstep. And for busy people, for professionals, or for people that maybe have not had a lot of experience cooking, This is wonderful news. So I know that there's been a couple that you have looked into, one of them called Blue Apron. So tell us a little bit about what's going on here, the trend, and help me so that it makes my life easier.
Sure. So, there has been hundreds of millions of dollars poured into startups of this ilk in the last couple of years, and Blue Apron is one of the largest players. And essentially what they're doing is they are providing you with pre-created recipes. So they're sending you all the ingredients in a single box to have three meals for the week.
Wow.
And you have to do the chopping and sautéing, and you have to do all the work. But essentially what the piece that they're removing from the puzzle is having to go to the grocery store,
right,
and having to decide on the recipes and the meals that you want to eat this week.
That's so cool. I mean, because, you know, I mean, for busy people and you know, hey, look, let's be honest. Technology has enabled us to do more. It didn't free us. It made us able to do more in the workday. So there's always going to be that constant pressure for productivity in the United States. I can't imagine that changing. It could, but I don't think it will. And this is another way for busy people, you know, working families, a lot of parents, a lot of family situations, both parents work. And for single families, you know, single parent, I mean, there's a lot of people that are very busy that this could become very convenient. And there's also the disconnect that we've seen that, you know, not everybody knows how to cook like once upon a time. You know, it's not necessarily assumed that, you know, a parent or different couple relationships that anybody's going to know how to cook.
Right, yeah, and you're right that there's no shortage out there of people who are time-starved, and that is what they see as the addressable market for something like this. And it's particularly interesting from a business perspective in that grocery has sort of been the last island in the world of shopping to really be insulated from the rise of e-commerce. I think we're still at a point where less than 1% of grocery shopping happens online. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is it is a product that people like to touch and feel before they buy. But also, it's an extremely hard business to do profitably. It's a notoriously low-margin business that depends on a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
And once you introduce having to ship it to people's houses in a right. way where their milk isn't going to end up hot or their butter isn't going to end up melted, it's really hard to do profitably. And what these meal kits represent is a really sort of interesting disruption of that issue, because since it's a subscription base, right, they know exactly how much food they need every week,
right.
And also they only send you precise portions. So if you only need half an eggplant for a recipe, they don't send you a whole eggplant.
That's so cool.
So they're able to really make very efficient use of the food supply that they buy. Nothing is wasted. And so that is what presents sort of an interesting opportunity for rethinking the grocery business online overall.
Excellent. Sarah Halzack, our guest today, national retail reporter for the Washington Post, WashingtonPost.com. Thank you so much for being with us, Sarah. We really appreciate it. We'll definitely have you back to update us on other trends in the consumer and retail world. Thank you much.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.